in complete dependence upon the Lord our God to help us. I would direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles chapter 27 and verse 25. Acts 27 verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Testimony of the Apostle Paul on this difficult journey to Rome. We read accounts, don't we, of many, many journeys which people made in and through the Scriptures. Most, if not all, in the very early parts of the Scriptures were by foot, or with the help of some beast such as an ass or camel. There was very little use of anything else for their journeys. Many of those journeys involved many miles, such as Abraham coming from Ur of the Chaldees, eventually coming into what was to be the promised land, hundreds of miles, greater miles than we would think of doing by foot in our days. But then there came this other transport for longer journeys by boat. I don't know if you children know the first time we read of a journey being taken by a boat in the Scriptures. I know we read when David fled from Absalom, he went over the River Jordan by ferry boat, it says. But that may not be the first time we read of someone using such a means of getting from one place to another. But when we come to the New Testament, the distribution of the Word of God, which was commanded by Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it was aided by the technology, as we might say, of mankind. For these ships, which could go long distances, especially along the Mediterranean Sea, you know, nothing happens by chance, does it? When the gospel was to be preached in far-off lands to the Gentiles, the means were there by which that could be done. I know it's been spoken by some today, where Jesus had said that the gospel must be preached into all nations and all places of the world. It had become to everywhere. That the technology of the internet has helped that tremendously to be so. I know that internet is used so terribly. And I'm sure these boats also was used for wrong things in the days of Paul and the others. But dear friends, where there's a means, and it can be used in prayer for the glory of God, then there's no constraint to say that it should not be used. Now, the Apostle Paul had used the means of a boat on the Mediterranean on several times on his missionary journeys as far as to Greece, Achaia and that area. But now he was going to go further. On this journey he was going to Rome. Not as he would have desired to have gone to Rome. He was a prisoner. His other journeys by boat had been in the freedom that he'd had to go wherever he felt led to go of the Lord and to preach the gospel to them. He was now, because of the threatening of the Jews, where he had to be physically rescued by the Roman soldiers and then taken down to Caesarea for safety. And because of their accusations and the weakness of Festus and Felix, he'd appealed to Caesar to hear his case. And it was said that he would go to Rome to lay his case before Caesar. And so this time had come. The journey was to be made under the control of a centurion to go from Caesarea across the Mediterranean Sea to Rome. At first, perhaps the journey began to go well. But when they came to Crete, the weather seemed to be not so favourable, and it was the winter time, and they sought a harbour to winter in. But as it wasn't seemingly pleasant or comfortable, as we might say, for them, the boatmen tried to go somewhere else. As Paul warned them, he knew much about the seas of the Mediterranean from where he'd been travelling before. He warned them he could be dangerous, and there was the risk of the loss of the boat and also of even of lives. But the centurion took the counsel of the shipman, the one in charge of the boat and the owner of the boat, and so they carried on. And as they carried on to find a better place, the weather got worse, and this great storm and wind called Euroclydon came upon them, and they were tossed about without any control of where they were going. Dear friends, what we find in these accounts, from Abraham right through to here, that all is yet under the control and the hand of God. Nothing happens without chance. There's a purpose in all things, even troubles, as well as more joys. The Lord is a wise and yet a gracious God to fulfill his purposes. And dear friends, many of those purposes are to strengthen the brethren in faith, and that the will of the Lord himself shall be fulfilled. And we find it throughout the scriptures, don't we? Those children of Israel journeying by foot for 40 years through the wilderness. Dear friends, they only came through as a people because of the goodness and mercy and the provision of God, his long-suffering love, not pouring out all his wrath. And they came to cross over that river Jordan by faith, to enter into the promised land. All unbelief had gone, hadn't it? All those that came out of Egypt, except Caleb and Joshua, who believed in God by faith, they never entered the promised land because of unbelief. But those who came in under Joshua, all by faith, they began by faith in the destruction of Jericho, where the walls fell down in the command of God as they marched around it and then shouted. We see many miracles, don't we, taking place in the journeys of the various people of God. But dear friends, we see many changes as well. Oh, Paul had seen many changes in his journeys. And dear friends, his greatest change was the conversion of his soul. Salvation unto his soul. He was journeying by foot, wasn't he, to Damascus, to take in those who he hated because they believed in Jesus. The Lord, in his great mercy and his great power, appeared unto him. Oh, what a change came there upon the apostle, upon Saul of Tarsus. Changed his heart. Put away unbelief, brought in faith and knowledge and obedience to his word. Oh, Paul testifies that when his time came, when the Lord's time came, oh, to call him by grace and set the knowledge of his Son within him to preach a Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Dear friends, that's a change no matter what our lives are. That's the great change we all need to come to, doesn't it? No matter what our backgrounds, no matter what have been our lives from the day we've been born. Oh, you children, you perhaps haven't gone too far yet in the number of years. Not like many of us who are older. You haven't had as many changes in your daily lives, shielded by parents. But perhaps you've had changes in your education and perhaps where you live, where things are now different to as they once were. But the great change we need, all of us, is to be saved. From power of sin, our own sins, to condemn our souls, to be saved by grace in believing in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, I do pray that such a change will come upon you all, and do pray for it yourselves. Lord, change my heart, renew my will, turn my feet in my daily journey and in my spiritual journey to Zion's Hill, the place of the Lord's blessing, where Jesus Christ was crucified, shed his blood to pay the price for sin, to look by faith unto Jesus and to find pardon, our pardon sealed, and peace with our God. For our God, the giver of Jesus Christ, is the only God. There is no other God, no other living God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth. But then, our lives are upon this earth, aren't they, at the moment, in our flesh. And we have many changes, many experiences, many different circumstances. And so it was with the Saul of Tarsus, as now the Apostle Paul, as he journeyed throughout the way the Lord had called him to go. But now this great trouble had come upon him, and he was not in control of it. Others were in control of him. They could not control the weather which was coming upon them. Oh, they were all without control, and they were all in great fear. They did much work to come by the boat, to strengthen the boat, so that it would not be broken up by the winds. They did what they could. And when we come into times of trouble and difficulty, yes, we're not just to sit back and do nothing, are we? We are to try and put things better as much as is possible for us to do. But dear friends, as those things when it's completely insufficient, doesn't overcome the trouble. If anything, the trouble probably gets worse, as it did here. Oh, on the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, that which was necessary for normal parts of the journey. No sun nor stars for many days appeared. No small tempest lay upon us. And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should then be saved. They thought they were going to die. There was no deliverance. They would come to their end. And there's nothing they could do about it. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn state that must have been in. I trust none of us have been in such a state as that. But, dear friends, we do know what may come to pass. And these accounts are left on record for us, for our learning, for our teaching. And in the and of the power of God. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Then we have this little word, but. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Yes, he says they should have hearkened unto him and shouldn't have come. They should have taken account of his wisdom, but that was no purpose in that now, was there? It had happened. They were as they were. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. But after long abstinence, dear friends, this great trouble brought Apostle Paul not to advise them that they what they should do and what they should not do. It brought him to dependence of prayer upon God. You know, dear friends, I believe this was a great trial of Paul's faith. I believe Satan would tempt Paul tremendously at this time. Why? Had not Satan tempted Paul before, a messenger of Satan to buffet him? What an opportunity for that to come again, because we don't read that the Lord answered Paul's prayer and it was ever taken away from him. Oh, Satan could look down and suggest within the Apostle Paul such things as this. Did you not write to the Romans earlier to say you would come and preach the gospel to them in peace, and in passing by you would get to Spain? Where's your hope of that going now? The Lord hasn't heard your prayers. He hasn't taken any notice of your desires. Surely if you were the Lord's, he would have heard your prayers, which you laid before him for the furtherance of the gospel. And he would have permitted you to have gone smoothly and well. But oh, now, everything is against you. The Lord is not with you. And beside all this, you are no longer now preaching the gospel, to which the Lord called you to go into the world and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That's come to an end, and You're shut up, you're a prisoner. You're subject to others, you've got no freedom to do what the Lord has called you to do. And you say that whilst you were in that castle in Jerusalem, with the soldiers who delivered you from the hand of the Jews, you say the Lord said, thou shalt surely go to Rome and testify to them there, as you have testified to me in Jerusalem. Where's your hope of doing that now? All hope that you should be saved has been taken away. Nothing you can do, you're subject to this great storm. There is no hope. Oh dear friends, what a temptation. What a trial of Paul's faith. Dear friends, leaning to his own understanding, that's exactly what would be the case with that. No deliverance. Only fear that all that he'd experienced and done was all in vain. And now, oh, he would die without the word of God being fulfilled in him. The promises of God not being fulfilled in him. Therefore, where be his hope of heaven? Well, I believe Paul was very much deep in prayer, long abstinence, calling upon him for his mercy, for that grace which he's been said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, what a trial of what he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, that's what he'd said when he wrote to the Corinthians, wasn't it? In much earlier years. And friends, he was now weak. Nothing he could do. Neither could the others around him. There was a fear that all would come to nothing. But his faith. There was his strength. In the word of God unto him. The grace of God would prevail, and the word of God spoken to him would come to pass, that he would come to Rome. And dear friends, he pleaded for that word to be given him again. Oh, you might say, her fleece wet and the fleece dry. And dear friends, it came. He did not pray in vain, did he? No. An angel of the Lord stood by me, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Oh, he got every reason to fear, hadn't he? Naturally speaking. But through grace and faith in God, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. It was the will of God. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Dear friends, did he pray for that? No, perhaps he did not. But what did he say later when he wrote from Rome to the Ephesians? He says, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above what ye ask or think. Paul prayed to be brought to Rome, the confirming of the promise. And the Lord gave him more than that. All that was with him, not one of them should perish. Those who said, all hope that we should be saved have been taken away. What a state they were all in. But the Lord, through Paul's prayers, had mercy upon them also. You know, dear friends, Paul's God is our God, isn't he? He's a never-changing God. And Christ, in whom we have all hope of eternal life, is a never-changing Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A prayer-hearing and answering God. Oh, dear friends, the answer to this prayer of Paul was answered. But it wasn't answered easily, was it? There was still some time to go before he received the fulfilling of the answer. They got up to the 14th day. And they hadn't eaten or drunk hardly anything. They would have been physically weak. And they came near to some land, not knowing what it was. Paul commanded them to eat for their own strength. For what was before them, they got to come to a land, but they did not know where or when or how. And dear friends, the coming to this land was a greater risk of drowning than they'd been in the boat, wasn't it? They had to be cast into the sea. The boat was to be broken up. Some could swim. Those who couldn't, they went on broken parts of the ship. What a terrible state they must have been when they landed on the shore of Melita, which is now Malta. But dear friends, the Lord had answered Paul's prayer. He came safely to this land, and in due time he did get to Rome. And whilst he was on this land of Malta, there was a purpose. The father of Publius, the charge of the one charge of the land, he was healed by Paul. Well, say healed by God through Paul. And many on that land were healed. And it became the witness of God and of Christ to the saving of their souls, the witness of the gospel to that land. They would never have got there if it hadn't have been for this mighty storm. Is anything too hard for the Lord? All our times are in his hand. All events are at his command. The troubles and the joys. Oh, dear friends, I know not what all your troubles and joys are today, this afternoon, and what difficulties you may be passing or may you've got to pass through. We don't know what another day may bring forth. You may have your desires, like Paul had to get to Rome. They may be fulfilled in a most unexpected way. A way which will bring you dependent upon the Lord deeper and deeper for his safe care and keeping of you. That your faith is strengthened. That you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That, oh, we do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. I believe God. Oh, what a testimony. Dear friends, before the answer fully came, Paul had had another promise. I believe God, he said, and it shall be even as it was told me. It didn't seem as how it could possibly happen, but in time it would. Dear friends, do any of you have those experiences with Almighty God? You're in the troubles, you're in difficulties, things are against you. You've known the blessing of God upon you spiritually. You've been called by grace. You perhaps expected things to go smoothly and well, and oh, the Lord supply all your need easily and frequently, and as he has promised that shall happen, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then things seem to go completely wrong. Things go in a way that you don't think there's going to be any deliverance from it. And you're going to pass away even, and all the promises the Lord has bestowed to you will not be fulfilled. His word will not come to pass. When he has said, my word should never fail. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. What a trial that is, isn't it, of our faith? Well, we have these accounts left on record, dear friends, for our comfort, for our help, for our strengthening in faith. That if in such a deep spot as this, which the Apostle Paul came into, then the Lord can, will deliver us from all of our fears. Or to continue in prayer. Long abstinence. Paul separated himself from those 276 people on the ship. Where he got to, we're not told. But he found that place. It wouldn't have been a quiet place with a storm going on and the boat being tossed, was it? But dear friends, it was a place of prayer. He was on his knees. His hope, his prayer, his faith was in God. And he continued till he received an answer from God. How long that was, we are not told. Except Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, who must have been with him, said, after long abstinence. Well, it was night time. Because when he spoke to them, they were waiting for the coming of the day. When they found that the sea was getting more shallow. It's almost as if the answer to Paul's prayer began to show immediately. Oh, what tokens we need, don't we? To maintain us and increase us in faith. To see these evidences that the Lord has heard and answered our prayer. Here a little, there a little. And dear friends, to continue looking, watching and waiting for the fulfilling of the promise. Well, dear friends, you've got your pathways. I've got my pathways. Our pathways of life. As we hope one day to come to the end. Into that glorious kingdom, eternal life. Dear friends, it's to be a pathway of faith, a pathway of dependence upon the Lord in times of trouble. Oh, we do not want the word of God, the word of Christ, to enter into us just partially, do we? Like when Jesus spoke of the seed falling into the stony ground. Oh, it had an effect immediately, but there was no root. Or you might say it had effect upon the mind, in the head, the ears heard it, and oh yes, this was the way we should go, we will believe, we will do that which is commanded, and our outward walk will be such and such as a child of God. But when troubles came, says Jesus, when the heat, the sun came up and beat upon that which was growing, it withered away because it had no root. Oh, dear friends, we don't want that, do we? We don't want just, we might say, a providential religion. There's not go no root in the love of Christ for the saving of our souls. No, dear friends, we need the root, we need the word, sorry, to go in to the good ground prepared of our hearts, that we are rooted in Christ, the love of Christ, and by faith depend upon all things in him. And it's through trouble and tribulation that that root gets deeper and deeper and grows in the knowledge of that grace. Oh, dear friends, you know that naturally speaking, I'm told that when wheat and barley grows, as it is at the moment, and it's been so dry, hasn't it been hot? But in such weather, those roots of which have been sown and the cereals, they grow deeper and deeper, seeking for that moisture. And so it is, dear friends, in the trials of our life, in faith, we come deeper and deeper in the exercise of our faith to find our continued trust and belief and hope in God. And that won't fail. He knows the way you take. When he's tried you, he will bring you forth as gold. All you lose is your unbelief. All you lose is your doubts and fears. You grow and come out of the trial much stronger than you went in. You've lost, as Job did. Oh, he lost much of his abiding self-righteousness. He says, behold, I am vile, but the Lord his God was all and in all. Oh, so this was Paul's experience. He proved again that the grace of God was sufficient for him. The temptation of Satan in this great trial, oh, to cause him to doubt and to fear that he was outside of the mercy of God for eternal life. Dear friends, that darkness came into light, didn't it? The light, when they came onto this island, there, this was the saving grace of God upon him. Not just providentially, but spiritually. Yes, the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. And he would live upon that grace all his days. His journey still had to continue. And that had its different aspects again, didn't it? So when we come into these deep troubles, dear friends, when we are brought through them through the grace of God, our lives are still to continue. We shall still know perhaps many changes, but how we shall have been strengthened. Strengthened to continue, to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, I often find that word so appropriate. I often quote it, don't I, in Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Dear friends, what has Jesus told us? In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Then let us believe in the Lord our Saviour, the Lord our God. In all things committed it to him, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Dear friends, there's one thing which will be increased in this, and that's what we spoke of this morning. The fear of God. Oh, he is mighty. But he's mighty to save. And dear friends, that fear of God will cause you to cry unto him. And this will be your answer. Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, the Lord, my Saviour, and my God. Without him, oh, I am nothing. I can do nothing. But in him, all things are possible. Also, praise the Lord and continue in faith, trusting in him at all times. And be of good cheer. The Lord is mindful of you. Amen.